Hi everyone, thanks for joining us today. Sarah and I are looking at root cause analysis in the month of June. So we thought we'd kick off with a chat about, well, root cause analysis for a start, and surprisingly enough, and some of the things that we've seen, observations that we've got from some of the businesses that we've worked with, and really picking up on some of the key areas that businesses could perhaps focus on to really help them make root cause analysis something that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sound very interesting. I think that's half the challenge with it.
I think you're right. I mean, we've worked with different businesses and we've seen various degrees of engagement with it, I think, and various ways of doing it. But I think from our point of view, I mean, I think we've talked about this in the past, but we find it fairly baffling that businesses don't buy in on it more, you know, don't see the opportunities. So they may very well have a lovely little questionnaire for their customer to ask them what's going on, which is the right thing to do, but it's entirely separate process to root cause analysis. And it always confuses me. Why are they not joining the dots up in terms of, well, actually, okay, we're asking this, but what are we doing with it? Where's it going? We're asking questions, but what are we doing with that data? Why is it not going into the RCA? And I'm always a bit confused by that.
Yeah, and I wonder sometimes if it's because the role of doing sort of feedback survey questions doesn't really bear any relation to what you're trying to find out in order to do good root cause analysis. I don't know how closely the two worlds work together in businesses, and I always get the sense that the drivers for getting customer feedback from like either the communications team or the market research team, they're a different set of criteria to the things that we need to understand and work out what's going wrong and how we can fix it. I even know that some organizations, if they get feedback in general surveys, they don't use it for root cause analysis because it's seen as just being a completely separate sort of feedback loop and it doesn't hop across from a root cause analysis perspective. And you need to understand what's going wrong, and we were saying like root cause analysis is not just customer feedback, is it? It's people on the front line that are dealing with the work day in day out that see the barriers and see the hiccups and don't have a feedback mechanism to report it back so that it gets solved.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's certain things that have to go in the root cause analysis. You only got to look at DISP and it outlines the very basics. But it just seems so strange to me that if you took a step back and thought, well, actually, okay, we do root cause analysis, we do feedback. Why are we not connecting these two things? Because obviously root cause analysis is looking at the number of complaints, redress, for the FCA.
Yeah.
You could be using that data to think, actually, how much did we pay out this year? How much do we pay out next year? Are our complaints numbers going up? Mm-hmm. And then using that customer feedback to think, well, actually, what's going on for the customer as a whole? What are the themes coming out? And how does that relate to your RCA? How can we change this and reverse the trend, if you like? Because there's so much data in there. Not all of it's going to be useful. I mean, it's entirely on the business to decide, isn't it? But it just seems bizarre that you get people like us coming in thinking, well, why just tick a box? Why not use it?
You know what? I think that's the challenge. I think you've hit the nail on the head, which is there's so much information you can get that you become sort of data blind. It just becomes a swarm of numbers and statistics, and people generally lose interest. Even if you put it in sort of snazzy graphs and pie charts and stuff like that, people just lose the will to live, don't they, really quickly. And yet, information like, so how many people who complained renewed their insurance with us or have stayed, you know, kept their account open and stayed with us? How engaged are they in managing their product with us? All of that sort of information will really give you a feel for how good your complaint handling has been and how engaged you've left your customer feeling. Yeah. So some people will stick with you because apathy kicks in and they you know, it wasn't bad enough for them to leave, but they'll disengage from you completely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Others will just walk.
Yeah.
So we've always, like, it's one of those things where the sort of like the critical sign of success was always when you were handling complaints was not getting a response back from a customer when you turn their complaint down, essentially. Like, so getting your outcome out to the customer, this is from a business perspective, you know, getting your outcome out to the customer, if you don't hear back from them, that's a good thing. Yeah. And that's still celebrated to some extent in the industry. And actually, that doesn't tell you anything. It just tells you they didn't come back to you.
No, and, exactly.
And the difficulty with that is, I think most people will jump to the conclusion that customers haven't come back because they're content.
Mm. Yeah.
And I go, are they? Can you tell me if they are?
Well, this is it, isn't it? It's, is it resolved? Mm. Are they happy, or are they just like, oh, yeah, forget it, I can't be bothered, you know what I mean? I've run out of energy for it. And it's, that's kind of where the learning needs to come from, isn't it? Because how do you get them back on board with your brand if they're just like, oh, forget it, that's not resolved?
That research last year that was talking about, they asked complaints handlers how well they thought of resolved a complaint, and 80% of the businesses said like really well, and it was like 18% of customers said,
was it eight, it, wasn't it?
Or was it eight? It was, like,
I think it was single figures.
So different. It's just a massive gap between how well we think we're doing as an industry and how that leaves customers feeling.
Yeah. But isn't that what you've just said though? Isn't that what was it? It was something, it was virtually 80% difference, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was absolutely, it was massive. A massive chasm. And within that chasm is all this silence because they're just like, oh, forget it. Whereas a business like, yay, we resolved it. Whereas a customer's like, actually, no, you haven't. I'm still pretty naffed off. Mm. And they will, as you say, they'll walk, or they just won't engage with your brand. They might have a bank account with you, but they'll put all their savings somewhere else. They'll just keep it open through, I don't know, apathy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, can I really be bothered to deal with another bank that's going to leave me high and dry? So, you know, you may think they're still engaged with your brand because they've not walked, but they might very well not be. I think that's part of the problem.
I think it's going to be more difficult over the coming months for people to move because of the economic situation, and perhaps their own financial well-being might well have been affected, in which case you've got people that are trapped.
Yeah.
So the fact that you've kept your customers doesn't necessarily mark you out as a sign of success. That might just be because you're the least worst option.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's also, as you say, they might be trapped through circumstance, not
exactly
because they want to stay with you. And I think we are going to see that, you know, that they're already predicting a depression, not a slump and a quick recovery. They're talking about depression. And so, you know, you won't see people moving straight off. You might see them moving as things recover if they can. So it may be, you might be thinking, oh, actually we're sitting pretty, we're doing all right, when actual fact you're on the precipice of something quite big after the recovery starts.
Yeah.
So, and you won't know that if you're not looking at your root cause analysis or your feedback.
Indeed, very true. And if you don't get your, if you don't get the people that matter to the business engaged and interested in doing it, and then doing something off the back of it, then you're always going to be trying to push the rock uphill, aren't you?
It's the board on board thing, isn't it?
It is the board on board thing. Yeah. Yeah.
That a lot. We've seen it in so many different businesses though. You know, you've got people on the front line desperately, as you say, pushing that rock up. There's all this stuff we need to tell you. We're collecting this data. And then the board is just like, well, the time it gets to them, they're just like, ah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is, you're right. There's certain things involved there. There is potentially not looking at the right things. You know, you've got certain things that you need to make a note of. We get that. It's the FCA requirement. But it's also making it work for you. What is it you need to know at every single level of your organisation in order to make that work? And it's not getting blind to the data. I mean, we've all been there, haven't we, in these presentations with various colour pie charts, bar graphs, and you just think, oh God, can we please just end this now? But it's because the data isn't applicable. There's a lot of data there,
but yeah, well, because some people do get really, really excited by data. But actually translating it into a form of language that appeals to, say, the likes of me, that's where the gap can be between, and then you just shut off, and that's the problem, isn't it? And I think also, almost as a business, you've got to really hold a mirror up to yourself about your culture. And are you doing it because you have to, or are you doing it because you want to? And if you want to, does everyone want to?
Yeah. Are you shouting into the void?
Yeah.
That's such a good point. Your culture. Oh, culture is so important. I do think when sometimes you can get a bit removed from it and think, well, so what, you know, the FCA is talking about culture, blah, blah, blah. But your culture is so important. I think for us, again, you know, we look at complaints handling, and a lot of businesses see complaints as a sort of a toxic byproduct of interacting with people. And like the Danny DeVito of the complaints handling and customer experience, it's that awful, horrible little bit you have to deal with. But actually, it's an opportunity to get these people back on board and for you to walk your walk with your culture. Mm. And if it's not there, if the RCA is something you have to do, like Caroline says, rather than you want to, then you aren't going to get all that really critical information out, because you're just like, we'll just tick a box.
It's like that thing, isn't it? Like, you know, minimum effort in, minimum output, nothing will change. You will stand still, and customers will still get to experience the same hiccups and barriers that they always have done. And they will still get frustrated, and they will still complain. And your complaint handlers will still have to deal with exactly the same stuff day in, day out. And they will eventually go, because they get fed up with saying the same old all the time.
Yeah.
So it, you know, like the culture part is a really, your appetite as a business to learn and evolve and change and develop and invest are all key, aren't they, to root cause analysis. Otherwise, you're just, again, you can fall foul of just ticking a box.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so much we could say, but this is a very, you know, a very short, snappy podcast, and we don't want to get into the whys and wherefore.
We do try, don't we? But
we'd be here all day, wouldn't we? But yeah, it's just, I think for me, it's, I can't help feeling that business is kind of, when you sort of said that I sort of envisioned a vortex of water going into a plug hole, and you know, out the bottom pops this poor bedraggled customer, you know, that's just about had enough and just, I can't be bothered with that again. Is that what you want? Is that the way you want your business to be seen? You know, this poor customer popping out the end and telling, however other many people on Twitter, face-to-face, you know, that your company isn't that fantastic. And that's not really what you want, is it? RCA, or root cause analysis, is so important. And it's just a shame that people don't see it for what it is.
Yeah, it is an old cliche, but it's true. Prevention is better than trying to find a cure. And the parallels I sort of draw is that we know, like from a medicine point of view, we know that preventative measures to make people be healthy and not be obese and not get diabetes type 2 and all of these types of things, the preventative side, it requires investment at the front end to be able to do that. And we haven't quite got there yet from a medical point of view to do that. So we end up spending millions of pounds on the cure. Exactly the same scenario with financial services, any other industry, where if you're not putting the preventative measures in place and investing in that, then you're dealing with the fallout from that. And you can get as good as you like on handling complaints, and that's our business. So we obviously want businesses to continue to be really, really good at handling complaints, don't we? But like, there's still a massive amount that could be done at the front end. Business can do a massive amount at the front end to prevent some of these things from happening, so that actually what does end up being a complaint is the stuff that really no one could have foreseen happening.
The stuff that's gone catastrophically wrong, not through any other reason that you just couldn't have seen it coming.
No, that's the key to it, isn't it? So we're going to be covering that in the next month, all of those things.
Yes, we are.
Hopefully. Because Sarah said there's loads.
I can imagine us spending the rest of the year on it if we weren't careful, but we will keep it just to the month because there's just so much that could be learnt and applied. But we will just keep it to this month. So yeah, watch this space. There's going to be blogs, there's going to be videos, there's going to be top tips, all sorts coming your way. And who knows, maybe another podcast. But yeah, so watch this space. Lovely to have seen you again. Not seen you. Lovely to have had you listen to us again. And we will see you next time.
Bye. Bye.